Today's staff is Yevamos Daf Lamed Beis, and we are at the Mishnah, 11 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Today's staff is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Avadya ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Elazar Lipa Shalom ben Fega Rachel, Sarah Nechama bas Rus Malka, Baruch ben Rachel, Malka Miriam bas Esther, Shlomo ben Rachel Devorah, Tova Malka bas Masha, Azriel ben Kayla, and Esther Kreindel bas Devorah. Today's staff is also being learned the Ilui Nishmas, Shlomo ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim, Reb Chaim Doiv. So we're continuing along in Perek Arba Achen, which deals with Yevamos, obviously, but specifically some of the intricate cases where there were several brothers and several Yevamos and different halachos as it pertains to those specific tzuyurim. So the beginning of today's daf, which is going to be another Mishnah, which again is going to discuss something very, very specific and nuanced in the world of Yevamos, is predicated on the laws of Maimer. So just to quickly reintroduce the concept of Maimer, something which at this point, a month into Masechtas Yevamos, we're all familiar with. So when a Yevama falls liyibum, there's a mitzvah for the Yevam to be miyabim the Yevama, for the Yevam to marry the Yevama. Now ordinarily, isha niknis bekesef shtar ubiya. However, as it relates to yibum, the Torah says specifically, Yavama Yavayala, meaning the way that the Yavam is supposed to fulfill his mitzvah, the way he's supposed to take this Yavama as a wife, is through the medium of Bia. Anything other than Bia does not work on a biblical level. Stating that, the Chachamim said that if a Yavam would be Mekadesh, a Yavama in the traditional sense, so for example, he would give her a Shava Pruta and say, Hareyat Mikudeshes Libetabazu, or he would give her a Shtar in which it says content of Kedushin. The halach is that although it wouldn't be a Yibum, but on some level, it would create something. Now, when a Yavam does a Maisa Kedushin, other than Bia, meaning either Kesef or Shtar to a Yevama, it's what's known in the vernacular as Maimer. And as we've seen, there was a tremendous mevucha amongst the Tanoim how exactly to define Maimer. It began with a machloikis between Beishamai and Bishil. Beishamai said, Maimer's koine kinyan gomer. That Maimer is the real thing. It's the real thing? Yeah. It's literally as if you did Yibum. Now, is it literally as if you did Bia, as if you did Yibum? So that was a discussion, and the Gemara discussed this on Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis. In fact, the Gemara brought three different possibilities of what Maimer LeBeishamai might be. It could be it's Koine Kinyan Gomer, it could be it's only Koine Litchos Letzara, but Litchos Letzara, it's Koine Legamri. And then there was a third side that it's Koine Meshaya. What that means, that was very much Daf Chav Tes. But that was Shitas Beishamai. We don't paskin like Beishamai. Beisilil argued. Beisilil said that Maimer is not Koine Kinyan Gomer. It's not a real Kinyan. Midday Raisa, Maimer doesn't do anything. You know what Maimer is? It's a Kinyan Midrabanan. And the way you have to look at Maimer then is as a quasi Kinyan. Because Midrabanan, it's a Kinyan. However, Midday Raisa, it's not Koine at all. And that's why in all the cases, there's always a subplot when you talk about Maimer, which adds layers of nuance, because once you do Maimer, so now you're in a situation where there's a shtigl zika because Maimer is not koina, but then again, maybe there's no zika because Maimer is koina. What happens if there's a tzara, etc., etc., etc.? There's a third sheet, however, as relates to Maimer, something that we saw very, very briefly on the infamous Daf Yutes, and that is Reb Shimon's sheet in Maimer. Reb Shimon held that whether Maimer's koina or not was a suffix. Meaning, he didn't hold like Beishamai that it's Koine Kinyan Gomer on some level. He didn't hold like Beisol that it's not Koine at all, Midday Raisa. However, it's Koine Midrabon, and thus it's going to be a quasi Kinyan. But Rav Shimon held that whether or not Maimer's Koine is a Suffolk. And you always have to then don the two tzadim of whether it's Koine or whether it's not Koine. But not that we view it, here's the piece, as a quasi Kinyan, as a shtickel Kinyan. But rather, the way we look at Maimer is a suffocating. Maybe it's koina, or maybe it's not koina. Not. So with that little hakdama, zokte ilugim mishnah. Gimel achin, there were three brothers, and soon gimel achrayas, and they were married to three women. These three women were not related to each other, which is an anomaly in this parak. Because in this parak, two of the brothers, at least, have always been married to sisters. But here the Mishnah says there were three brothers, and they were married to Nachrias, meaning none of these wives were sisters. One of the brothers died. Let's call him Reuven. the Asa Bahasheni Maimer, and then Shimon did Maimer, Umes, and then Shimon died. Says the Mishnah Hari, Elu Choltzois, Veloy Mesiatmois. The halacha is that as it relates to Shimon's wife, and really Reuven's wife, who Shimon did Maimer with, when these two women fully Yibum to Levi, Levi's going to have to do Chalitza, Levi's not going to have the option to do Yibum. And the reason, says the Mishnah, is Shenema, because it says in the Torah, Umeis achad mehem yevama yovel yolev. Ki yeshfu achim yachtov, umeis achad mehem. And we learn from there, Mishalez zikas yovam echad. Only time there's a mitzvah of Yibum is if the Yavama that's falling the Yibum is falling machmas, one brother that died. The zikas yavam echad, aber v'loy shalel zikas beiz yavamin. As opposed to this yavama who has zikas beiz yavamin, she's fooling machmas two brothers, and as a result, there's no yibum, and what you have to do is, you have to do chalitza. In other words, the Mishnah is saying that the way Maimer works is Maimer is a quasi-kinyan. So it's a little bit of kinyan, it's also a little bit not a kinyan. That's the way we look at Maimer. If we look at Maimer as a quasi-Kinyan, so when Reuven died and Shimon did Maimer, and then Shimon died, so Eishes Reuven, who fell a Yibam Machmas Reuven, now is falling the Yibam again, a shtickel Machmas Shimon. Now, if Shimon would have done Yibam with Eishes Reuven, so that would have completely knocked out the Zika of Eishes Reuven. But he didn't do Maimer. He didn't do Yibam. What he did was Maimer. And because he did Maimer, so he never knocked out the original Zika. Not just that, Maimer itself is a little bit of a kinyan, and because of that, when Shimon dies, Machmas, the Maimer that he did with Eishes Reuven is now falling Liyibim again because of Shimon. So it comes out that Eishes Reuven is falling Liyibim twice. She's falling Liyibim Machmas Reuven, and she's falling Liyibim again Machmas Shimon. Now, ordinarily, you would say, how is it possible for a woman to fall Liyibim Machmas two brothers, right? How could she have been married to two people? Well, with Maimer, it's possible, because she was married to Reuven regular Nisu, and then Reuven died, left over no children, Shimon did Maimer, and then Shimon died, and because of the quasi-nature of Maimer, so essentially Eishes Reuven is falling the Yibum, Sai Machmas Reuven and Sai Machmas Shimon. So we look at her as a Yavama that has Zikas Beis Yavamin, and it says in the Torah, Umeis Achad Mehem Yavama Yavayala, as opposed to if two brothers died. And it's for that reason that Allah is Chaylatzes V'loy Mesiyab Amas. Rav Shimon argues, and he says, Miyabim Le'ezeh She'yirtza V'choyletz L'shniyah. Rav Shimon says that if Levi wants, he could be Miyabim any one of these Yavamas, and the other Yavama, he's going to do Chalitza too. Now, why does Reb Shimon hold that if he wants to be Miyabim, any one of these Yavamas he can? It's because according to Reb Shimon, the way Maimer works is, it's a Suffolk Kinyan. Either it works, or it doesn't work. And the way we look at it, is we look at it either as it's Vaday working, or we look at it as if it's Vaday not working. But here's the point. Because it either for sure works or for sure doesn't work, there's no tzad that Eishes Reuven is falling to Yibam, Machmas Reuven, and Machmas Shimon. Memonavshach. If Maimer works, so then she's falling to Yibam, only Machmas Shimon. If Maimer doesn't work, so then she's falling to Yibam, only Machmas Reuven. But it's not Zika's Beis Yavamin. And because it's not Zika's Beis Yavamin, if Levi wants to do Yibam, he could do Yibam. Now, Reb Shimon also said, V'choyleitz l'shniyah. He would do Chalitza with the second one. Why does he have to do Chalitza with the second one? Because on the tzad that Maimer was koina, so it comes out, he already did Maimer with Eisha Shimon. And once he did Maimer with Eisha Shimon, he has no right then to be Miyabim, Shimon's other wife. Because once you do Yibum, there's Alocha Kivan Shabana Shuvla Yivna. So therefore, he would not be able to do Yibum with Shimon's other wife. He has to do something to Shimon's other wife, because maybe Maimer was not Koina, so it comes out he never patterned that woman, and as a result, he'd end up doing Chalitza and not Yibum. But the bottom line is that this machloikis between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim is really l'shita sayu in terms of how you look at Maimer. If the way you look at Maimer, this is all in Beis Hillel's world, as being a quasi-Kinyan, so then if Reuven dies and Shimon does Maimer, then Shimon dies, so it comes out Eishes Reuven's falling Liyibum twice. She's falling Liyibum, Sai Mitzad Eishes Reuven, and she's falling Liyibum because of the fact she's Eishes Shimon as well. And on that we have a drush, Meis Achad Mehem Yavam Yavayola Misha Yesh La However, if the way you look at Maimer is not that it's a quasi-Kinyan, but either it's a Kinyan Gomor or it's not a Kinyan at all, so Mimon of Shach, Eishes Reuven is not falling Machmas two brothers. Either she's falling Machmas Reuven or she's falling Machmas Shimon. And for that reason, if Levi wants to do Yibum, Levi would be able to do Yibum. But the Gemara asks Akasha on the Chachamim Shita. The Chachamim hold that where Reuven died,
left over no children. Shimon did Maimon, and Shimon died. So what's the halacha? Chaylatzes v'loy misyabemes. Why no Yibum? It's a drasha. Umeis achad mihem yivam yavi yalel. Only if tezikas yavam echad, not if tezikas shnei yavam. So what do you do? You do chalitza. Freit the Gemara, an obvious question. Easy, because beis yavam day raisa. If this drasha is a drasha day raisa, and it certainly felt like it when we learned the Mishnah, shenemar, it's a whole pasuk. It sounds like it's a drasha. So if midday raisa, the halacha is that when a woman has beis yavam, she doesn't follow Yibum chalitza, and amaloyti boy, this shouldn't be chalitza either. Why not? Because we know the rule. Call now, there are a few exceptions to the rule, but very, very few. And there's no reason in Sfar that this should be an exception. So, Tainas the Gemara, if umeis achad mehem yivam yavay aleh is a reason that there should be no yibum when the zikas beis yivamim, that mehai time we should say kol she'ena oilel yibum ena oilel chalitza, and there should be no chalitza either. So, the Gemara, elo, you have to say midrabanan. That really, this whole din of umeis achad mehem yavama yavay olel, this whole din of the Mishnah that when Shimon does maimed, then Shimon dies, the halach is you can't do yibum, it's not midirai, so all it is midirabanan. And by the way, it makes sense that it should only be midirabanan, because we're going in beisol shita that the whole maimer is only a din derabanan. So why was there a zikas beis yavamim? Because Shimon did maimer. What's maimer? So according to Beishamai, it's koine kinyan gomer on some level. So did the Rishonim say luchur it's a day raisa? But according to beisol, it's zikr only a derabanan. So because it's only a derabanan, so it's pasha that the whole iser over here was really an Issa Rabbanan. And the whole pasuk that the Gemara brought, or that the Mishnah even brought, was an Asmach de Ba'alma. Okay, so what is this Rabbanan? Meaning, if really Midday Raisa, there's nothing here, the whole drasha that we brought was really an Asmach de Ba'alma. All it is an Issa Rabbanan. So why did the Rabbanan say in this case that you shouldn't be able to do Yibam? So the Gemara says, because it looks a little bit, as a result of the Maimer, as if the two Yavamas are falling from the same bias. And if you're going to go ahead and do Yibam by both, so it's not going to look good. It's going to look like maybe you're miyabim two yavamos that fall from the same bias, so to prevent it ever from looking like that, so therefore the Chachamim said, don't do yibum. But the Gemara says, okay, that's a reason not to do yibum with both. Why can't you do yibum with one and do chalitza with the other? Right, there's no iser for a yavam to do yibum with one yavama and then to do chalitza with her tzara. So why can you be miyabim one and then do chalitza with the other? So the Gemara says, Gzeri, Shem Yomer, we're concerned that people are going to say, bayis echad miktsasai banui umiktsasai chalutz. People might think that that's always what you're supposed to do. There may be an innocent bystander who's going to know what happened, and he's going to say, well, anytime a man dies, he leaves over two wives. So with one wife, you do yibum, with the other wife, you do chalitza. The Gemara says, Vayomer, no, let them say. Who cares? What? Where's the damage? Where's the harm if people are going to think that? Meaning, it's a chashash rochuk that someone's going to think it. Okay, so in the worst case scenario, there's going to be an amaretz who's going to think that if two yavamas full of yibum, you do yibum with one, you do chalitza with the other. So let him think it. So the Gemara says, no. If you were sure that the way the person would interpret it is that when two yuvamas fall yibum, first you do yibum, then you do chalitza, then it's not the end of the world. Because nothing's going to happen if you do chalitza with the second yavama after you did yibum with the first. Alexeri, the real Xeri is Dilma Chalitz Bereisha. You may do chalitza first, the Hoda Miyabin, and then you're going to do yibum with the other one, and that's a problem. Because for Kamli Bashelo Yivne, for Achman Amak Kimish Labano Shuvla Yivne. We know that once you do chalitza with one of the yavamas, so you're not allowed to do yibum with the other yavama, and it's for that reason we're concerned that someone may see what's happening in this case and think that that is something that's okay. That's not okay. Because once you do chalitza, if you're going to do yibum with the other yivama, you're going to violate a law in the Torah of kiman shalei bana shuv layivna, which was the subject of machloikis Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish on Daf Yod. But the point is, for sure there's going to be a law in the Torah, and because it's going to be a law in the Torah, therefore Chazal said, you shouldn't do it. Amar Rava said, nasan get lemamari. What would happen? The case of the Mishnah. There were three brothers that were married to Nachriyos. One of them died, and the second one did Maimer. Right? So Reuven died, and then Shimon did Maimer. And then Shimon died. So we said, Levi has to do chalitza to both Yevamis. He's not allowed to do Yibam. The Mishnah brought a pasuk, but the Gemara said that really the pasuk's an asmach tabalmo. It's really more of a gzeiros chazal. Shema yoimru beiz Yevamis habois mi bayis echon misyabmes. But the cases where after Reuven died, Shimon did Maimer. Rava said, what would be if after Shimon did Maimer, Shimon gave Eishes Reuven a get? So he did Maimer, he was Mekadesher. It's not a real Kedushin, whatever exactly it is. But after he did the Maimer, he gave her a get. So Rava said that in the event that Shimon would give a get, Limamoroi, to Eishes Reuven that he did Maimer to, so then the halacha would be Hutr Tzarasa. So at that point, when Shimon dies, Shimon's real wife, Levi, would be able to be Miyabim. The reason Levi can't be Miyabim her is because we see on some level through the Maimer as if two Yevamis are falling Liyibim Mibayas Echad. Well, why is it Bayas Echad? Because Eshes Reuven was Reuven's real wife, and through Maimer, she was also Shimon's wife. Well, if Shimon undoes the Maimer by giving Eshes Reuven a get, so the Maimer's not there anymore. So if the Maimer's not there, so now they're not both falling from the same bias. Eshes Reuven is going to go back to where she was. She's only falling from Reuven's bias. Eshes Shimon is falling from Shimon's bias. So Rav said it's for that reason, Hutra Tzarasa, that if you want to be Miyabim the Tzar, you can be Miyabim the Tzar. So the Gemara makes a diak. Aval hi asura. It's clear that Rav is just saying that if Shimon would give a get to the Balas Maimer, so then the Tzara, Shimon's real wife, you'd be allowed to do Yibum. But it sounds like Eshes Reuven, Levi would not be able to be Miyabim. Why not? L'chura, there's no difference between Eshes Reuven and Eshes Shimon. Just like once Shimon gives the get to Eshes Reuven, so Eshes Shimon is not Zikas Beis Yevamim, so Eshes Reuven is also not Zikas Beis Yevamim. It was only Zikas Beis Yevamim because of the Maimer. He just divorced the Maimer. So if that's the case, it shouldn't be Zikas Beis Yevamim anymore. So the Gemara says the reason is the Machlefa Babai Lasket. Because there's a halacha that if a person gives a get to a Yevama, woman falls Liyibim, Reuven and Shimon are brothers, Reuven dies, leaves over no children, his wife falls Liyibim to Shimon, Shimon doesn't do Yibim, doesn't do Chalitza, gives her a get, he writes her a get. Why would he have done it? Maybe he thought that he clearly doesn't want to marry her, so in his mind, the way you can divorce the Yevam is the same way you would divorce your wife. So he went ahead and he gave her a get. The halach is once he gives a get, at that point he's not allowed to be Miyabim her anymore. None of the brothers are allowed to be Miyabim. The reason is because the get mirrors chalitza, and just like once you do chalitza, kiven shaloi bana shuv lo yivna, so too if you give again, you're going to have the same halacha. But either way, said the Gemara that Rava said that if Shimon did maimer to Eshes Reuven and then Shimon gives again, so now it's not Zikas Beis Yevamim anymore. So it's for that reason, if Levi wants to be miyabim Eshes Shimon, he could be miyabim Eshes Shimon, but to be miyabim Eshes Reuven, that he won't be able to do. And the reason is because Eshes Reuven, being that she received the get, machlofa bebalas again, so we're going to confuse her with a regular Yavama that receives a get. And a regular Yavama that receives a get, you're not allowed to be Miyabim. So to this Yavama that receives a get, you're also not allowed to be Miyabim. Again, this Yavama is not a regular Balas get. Why not? Because this Yavama had a Maimer, and the get is not really talking to the Zika. What it's doing is it's undoing the Maimer, but it doesn't matter. Al Zegzera that we make, confuse it with a Balas get, it's going to be an issue. Ikadami, some say, Amar Rava, Rava said it even Sharfi. He said, that once he gives a get to the Balas Maimer, meaning if Shimon, after he did Maimer to Eshes Reuven, would give a get to Eshes Reuven, the halacha is that Levi would be able to miyabim Eshes Shimon and Eshes Reuven. Eshes Shimon, why? Because she's not Zikas Beis Yevamim anymore, because he already gave a get to the Balas Maimer. And even her, even Eshes Reuven, is going to be fine. Why? My time, my David Bashakle. Because really, all the get did was is it just removed the Maimer. Now that the Maimer's not there anymore, she goes back to being Eshes Reuven. Eshes Reuven, Levi was allowed to be miyabim. So there's no reason to say that Levi would not be able to be miyabim this woman either. Another Mishnah. Another Arba Achen Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah. Shnei Achen. There were two brothers, Nesu and Shtei Achoyes. They were married to two sisters, Reuven and Shimon, and they're married to sisters. Meis Achem, one of the brothers died. So Reuven died. What happened when Reuven died? His wife fell Yibum to Shimon. But really, she didn't fall Yibum to Shimon, because Reuven's wife is Shimon's wife's sister. She's an Achis Isha. An Achis Isha, that's the first Mishnah in the Masechta, doesn't fall Yibum. What happens if afterwards Shimon's wife died? So now, Reuven's wife is no longer an Achis Isha of Shimon. So the halacha is Harezu Asura, all of it. It doesn't matter, it doesn't change the halacha. Eishnes Reuven is still going to be Asur to Shimon. The reason is, Hoyol V'nesra Olav Sha'achas. Because being that she was Asur Sha'achas, at the time that Reuven died, Eishnes Reuven was an Achis Isha of Shimon. So even though now she's not an Achis Isha of Shimon anymore, but once an Achis Isha is always an Achis Isha, because it's halacha of Nesra, Hoyol V'nesra Olav Sha'achas, and so that reason, she's going to be Asur forever. So afraid to Gemara, Pshita, the Chayr, this Mishnah is Pasha. Meaning, we know the halacha. We know the halacha of Nesra. Now, how do we know the halacha of Nesra? Well, first of all, it's Yevamis 101, but we know it from a Mishnah. It was a Mishnah in this parak. It was a Mishnah on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. So Daf Lamed Amud Aleph had four Mishnahs. This was the third of the four Mishnahs. So Mishnah over there discussed there were three brothers. Two of them were married to sisters, and one wasn't. So Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters. Levi's not. Reuven died. And Levi went and was miyabim Eishes Reuven. Shimon couldn't be miyabim Eishes Reuven because Eishes Reuven was an achis ish to Shimon. So instead, Levi did. After Levi did yibum to Eishes Reuven, Eishes Shimon died. Then Levi died, so that Eishes Reuven fell yibum tzim tzveit in mal to Shimon. The first time that Eishes Reuven fell yibum to Shimon, she was an achis isha. The second time, she's not an achis isha anymore. This is an afila shnia. Now she's falling machmas Levi. But since, or before Levi died, Shimon's wife had also died. As a result, she's not an achis isha. So what did the Mishnah say? Harezu asura olav olamis hayuv nesra olav shalachas. So really, we had this exact same halach in the Mishnah, daflam and amadav. So the Gemara asks, pshita, not that the halach of Nesra is pashut. There's nothing pashut about Nesra. But by daf lamed beis in Yevamos, it's already pashut. Because I know it no less from two dafin ago. I know it from daf lamed amad aleph. And the Gemara doesn't just ask that I know it from daf lamed. The Gemara asks the Pateras kal v'chaymer. Hashta. Ma hasa madach over there. Madach on daf lamed. Doloi mitcha mehai beis alagamri. Amrit loi. Madach over there. Where when Reuven died, the case was that there were three brothers. It was Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So when Reuven died and Eishes Reuven fell Yibum, she fell Yibum to Levi. Now, she didn't fall to Shimon, but she fell to Levi, stating that. Because she didn't fall to Shimon, so there was a Nesra. So we say that in the Nefila Shnia, when she falls to Shimon, she's going to be Asura all the way along. So you see that you say the Aloch of Nesra, even when the woman that's Nesra wasn't Nidcha Lagamri. She was only nidche from falling to Shimon, but she wasn't nidche from Levi. And still the halacha is that you say, Nesra hacha, to come midcha mihai beis al-gamri. In our mission, daf lamed beis al-manal, where there were only two brothers, there weren't three brothers. And the only other brother, she didn't fall to Yibam because she was an achis isha. So when Reuven died, and now his wife, who's an achis isha to Shimon, falls to Yibam, she's nitcha legamri because there is no brother to whom she's not an achis isha that she should be mutter to. So like kol shekein, certainly you should say nesra. I mean, the malach is saying nesra when she's not nitcha legamri. Kol shekein, kal v'chaim, you should say nesra when she is nitcha legamri. So the Gemara's kash is, number one, why do you need the Mishnah daf lamed beis amin aleph? And not only why do you need it, I know it from daf lamed, I know it b'toiras kal v'chaim from daf lamed. And for the Gemara, Tana, the Tana, the Mishnah, hay Tana b'resha. Really, when he sat down to learn the sugyas of nesra, he wrote one Mishnah, and the Mishnah that he wrote was on Daf Lamed Beis Amin Aleph. He discussed the case of Nesra, where she's Nitcha Lagamri. Why didn't he write the Mishnah on Daf Lamed? Because he was of the opinion at that time that really, the case of Daf Lamed is going to be Mutter. It's not going to be Nesra. Why not? Because she wasn't Nitcha Lagamri. She's going to be Mutter. But then the time of the Mishnah had a change of heart. He had a Machshava Shniyah. He came around. He said, you know something? I think I was wrong the first time. I think you say Nesra even when she wasn't Nidcha Lagamri. Okay, so he says, I have to add a Mishnah. Now, really, if you wrote a Mishnah and then you add a Mishnah, the Mishnah that you add would be the second Mishnah. But the Mishnah here that was added is the first Mishnah. It's the Mishnah on Daf Lamed. So why do you do it that way? Because he had such a geschmack in this chiddush, this newfound ha'ara, that even when she's not Nidcha Lagamri, still you say Nesra. So he wanted it to be the first, right? When you have a chiddush, so some people save it for the last, but you see the time that Mishnah cared, it's Akhtame, he wants to say it, he's so excited, can't wait to say it. So he says it right in the beginning. Okay, but at the very least, once you had the first Mishnah, Daf Lamed, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Beis Amin Aleph. The Gemara says, true, Abu Mishnah is awesome in Kaiva. Once we said this Mishnah, we kept this Mishnah, and by the way, if this sounds familiar, the Gemara had an identical signon on Daf Lamed Amin Aleph, discussing the first and second Mishnah on Daf Lamed, not the Sugya of Nesra. It was a different sugya, but the bottom line is, same difference, this is what the Gemara says. Zok the Gemara, Tana Rabbana says, next Gemara that we're going to learn is a classic. So again, the whole Yevamos is classic, but there's some Gemaras that are classic, Ben Benoishal classic. And really, this next Gemara that we're going to learn is from the Yesoidus. It's from the important Gemaras. It's when you learn Yevamos and Yeshiva, so there's a few Gemaras that you start off with in the Shir Psicha and the Hakdama that you have to have in the Beina in order to understand all the super lumdis that you learn B'meshach HaZman. So this Gemara that we're about to learn right now is one of them. We're not going to go into it, Agav, after that whole introduction. Metz Hashem one day. But this Gemara is a very, very important Gemara, and this Gemara is actually going to take us into a digression. A digression that is going to be malava us for Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis and through the entire Daf Lamed Gimel. But it begins very much with the Arba Achim case. Zok the Gemara, Tanu Rabban. What happens if an Achis Isha falls Liyibam? So the first mission of the Masechta, the very, very first halacha that we learned was that an Erev doesn't fall Yibam. So for example, if Reuven and Shimon are brothers, Reuven is married, to Shimon's wife's sister. And then Reuven dies. Ordinarily, there'd be a mitzvah of Yibum, but an erva does not fully Yibum. Why not? So he had the price in Daf Gimel, he had Rebbe's drash on Daf Ches, Rav's member of erva gufa loy tzricha kra, because I say he's not toicha loy tzricha sheish bekaris anyways, but halacha revacha b'Yisrael, everybody knows that an erva doesn't fully Yibum. And just to be clear, even Beis Shammai, who holds that Tzara's erva is mutter, it's only Tzara's erva that's mutter. Erva doesn't fall the Yibam. Which means, l'chayra, that if you have an achis isha that falls the Yibam, and then the Yavam would do Yibam, he would be mekayim the mitzvah of Yavam Yavam Yoleh. Wouldn't be a mitzvah. Not only would it not be a mitzvah, l'chura, he would be over the Isra Arayis. Which erva? Two. Number one, she's an achis isha. Number two, she's also an eshesach. Now, usually, when the Yavam is an eshesach, it's not an issue because the Torah is mater eshesach. But being that there's no heter eshesach, it's like Gara from a Tzara Silenus and a Tzara Soit and all the different cases, eshesach, the Memela, call it whatever you want to call it. But at the end of the day, this woman, Lechura, has two arayos that are mutul aleha. Number one, she's an achis isha. Number one, and number two, she's an eshesach. So with that little background, which we already knew, Sokta Gemara, Abraisa, it's a Tosefta here in Masechtas Yevamos. Tanu Rabban and Ba'aleha. What happens if an achis isha falls the Yibum, and then the Yavam goes and he does Bia, Chayiv Aleha is going to be Chayim Mishom Eshesach, Mishom Achis Isha. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, this person's going to be Chayiv twice. He was born two arayos. What does it mean he's Chayiv twice? He's Chayiv Karis twice? Maybe. Even more pashit, if he did a b'shoigig, he would have to bring two chatas. He would have to bring a chatas because he was over on achis isha, and would have to bring a chatas because he was over on eshesach. Reb Shimon says, "Ein chayiv elam mishom eshesach b'vat." Reb Shimon says, "No, you're not going to be chayiv two. You're only going to be chayiv one. Which one? Eshesach." Veit Gemara v'tan we learned in the brayz. Reb Shimon said, "Ein chayiv elam mishom achis isha b'vat." So it's the same Reb Shimon that you only chayiv one, but not mishom eshesach, rather mishom achis isha. Gemara says, "Like kash, it's not a stiro. Kansha nasa chayiv v'achach nasa meis. Kansha nasa meis v'achach nasa chay." What it depends on is which one of these arayos was chal first. Was the Isser Eshesach chal first, or was the Isser Achis Isha chal first? And whichever one was chal first, that's the one you violated. The one that came second, that's a moot point. That's not something you have to worry about. In other words, if it was Nasachai, if Shimon is the Chai, right? Reuven's the brother that died, Shimon's the brother that's alive. So if Shimon got married to his wife first, so that means that before his brother Reuven married his wife's sister was already Aser to him. She was Achis Ishta. As soon as Shimon got married, his wife's sister became an Erev. Now later, Nasa Meis, Reuven married that woman. Then she also became Eshes Achiv of his brother. But that second, because before Reuven married her, she was already also because of Achis Ishta. In that case, where it's Nasa Chayiv Achach Nasa Meis, Reb Shimon's going to hold you're going to be Chayiv Mishum Achis Ishta. Kanche Nasa Meis Vachach Nasa Chayiv. However, in the case where Reuven got married first, and then Shimon got married. So if Reuven got married first, so that means that Shimon's wife's sister was Eshes Achiv before she was Achis Ishtoi. So if afterwards Shimon marries her, the Isser Eshes Achiv is going to be the Isser that's going to be there, as opposed to the Isser Achis Isha, which is not going to be Chal. So according to Rabbi Yossi, if the Yavam is born in Erva, Shaloi b'makom mitzvah, specifically achis isha, that's what we're talking about. So what would happen is he'd be chayiv twice. He'd be chayiv chatas for eshesach, and he'd be chayiv chatas for achis isha. According to Reb Shimon, you're only going to be chayiv one. You're never going to be chayiv two. Which one will you be chayiv for? It depends on which one was chal first. If it was nasa chayiv first, then it's achis isha. And if it was nasa meis first, then it's going to be eshesach. I'll be afraid the Gemara kash. Reb Shimon, heichot the nasa meis v'achach nasa chay. In the case where it was nasa meis, the achakach nasa chay. In the case where Reuven got married first, and then Shimon. What does Reb Shimon hold in that case? Kivan the Isser Achis Isha Leichayel. Reb Shimon holds the Isser Achis Isha is not Chal. In fact, if the Yavam would be Baalel, all it would be is an Isser Eshesach. There would be no Isser Achis Isha. You wouldn't be Chayiv Chatas for Achis Isha. So if that's the case, Freit the Gemara to Siabim Yevumi. L'chayra, the Yavam should have a mitzvah to do Yibum. Why? Because no Achis Isha. The Achis Isha wasn't Chal. You're telling me the Achis Isha is not Chal. Why would the Achis Isha not be Chal? So we're going to see throughout the rest of the daf and in tomorrow's daf the reason. A little sneak preview? Because Ein Isser Chal al Isser. But the bottom line is,
that the second erva the achis ish is nachal. So avifel the achis ish is nachal. So right now there's no achis ish that's falling liyibum. So if there's no achis ish falling liyibum, freak the gemara to see avin yavume. So why isn't there a mitzvah to do yibum? Amar Rav Ashi said iser achis ish mitl toivikah. It's true that right now, being that it was nasa meis vachach nasa chai, so enes achal lisa doesn't allow the iser achis ish achal. But at the same time, it's mitl toivikah. It's hovering over this woman. It's ready to pounce. It's there. It's mamish pending right now. Ipaka iser eshesach, which means that if the iser eshesach would go away, osi iser achisisha v'chayil, the iser achisisha would be chal. The hilkach loipaka, therefore it can't be paka. In other words, right now there really is no achisisha. But at the same time, if you're going to tell me there's a mitzvah yibum, that means the iser eshesach is going to go away. And if the iser eshesach goes away, it won't be a nisachal iser anymore. Then there will be a nisar achis isha. So at the end of the day, time is the gemara, you can't do yibum. You want to know why you can't do yibum? Not because this second is an achis isha. Reb Shimon holds that if it was nasa meis vachach nasa chai, there is no achis isha. But being that if there would be a mitzvah yibum, then the iser achis isha would be chal. So even though right now, there is no mitzvah yibum, and the iser achis isha wasn't chal, but at the end of the day, she's not an erva. So zok the gemara that it's true there's no achis isha b'poyo, but the achis isha is mitl toy v'koy. And because the achis isha is mitl toy v'koy, so at the end of the day, that's the reason that there's no mitzvah yibum. If there's no mitzvah yibum, you can have the din of achis isha. Now, that's pashut that even Reb Shimon, who holds of the halacha of achis isha, which the gemara assumed for a davar pashut, he also holds up the halacha of tzaras erva, right? There's halacha of tzaras erva, the first mission of the Masechta, and the halacha of tzaras erva is true even according to Reb Shimon. And there's a big shaila, big discussion in the Rishonim, and there's one piece from the Brisker Rav and Sefer and Rambam that's in Hilchas Yibum v'Chalitza, and it's on this halacha right here, it's on this shmuz. According to Reb Shimon, where there's an achis isha that's mitl toli v'koy. In the event that there was a tzara, which erev is patering the tzara? Is it the achis isha that's mitl toli v'koy that's patering the tzara? Is it the eshes ach that's patering the tzara? But that's lumdus, that's beyond the scope of today's daf. Either way, so what emerges here is a very straightforward halach. Again, the digression is going to be pretty straightforward. And that is, if the yavam was ba on an achis isha that fell a yibum. So it's machleks Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, what halach is it? According to Rabbi Yossi, yichay mishum eshes ach and yichay mishum achis isha. According to Rabbi Shimon, ein yichayev ella one. Which one? Whichever one was chal first. Now the Gemara is going to assume for a davar pashit that the machlokes between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon must be a shas machlokes, and that is whether we say iser chal al iser or whether ein iser chal al iser. Which in short means if something's aser already, could it become aser again? If something already has a iser, could it now suddenly obtain a second iser? Or not. And that's the shayla of Isser Chal Lisser, Ein Isser Chal Lisser. And it sounds like from the Gemara, the Rabbi Yossi holds Isser Chal Lisser, and Rabbi Shimon holds Ein Isser Chal Lisser. Rabbi Yossi holds Isser Chal Lisser, so he can be chayef for an Eshesach and for an Achis Isha. Rabbi Shimon holds Ein Isser Chal Lisser, and therefore you can't be chayef for both. Talk to him. So Rabbi Yossi Isser Chal Lisser. That's Rabbi Yossi holds. That is Isser Chal Lisser. Tanya Ben Lun to the Brayso. Of Rabbi Yossi Ish Bashtem Yisoyz. If someone did an Aveira that he's chayef Misas Bezdin for, and in fact this Aveira that he did has two Averois wrapped in one, so that he's Chayim Misa times two. So the Halach is Nida Mechamura. He always gets the Mochamur. Come with the Rabbi Mine. So if someone does one Avera for which he's Chayim Misa twice, he's going to get the Mochamur Misa. Rabbi Yossi says, Nidam Bezika HaRishayna HaBa'ala. No. You don't get the Mochamur, but you get the Zika Rishayna. Now, when you're learning Yavamis and you hear Zika, right, you get scared, but that's not what it means. Zika Rishayna means the Issa that was Chal first. So whichever Issa was Chal first, that's the Issa you're going to have. Tanya learned to the Rice, the Ketzin, Rabbi Yossi Nidam Zika Habala, what's an example of Zika Rishayna? He said, for example, someone was ba on Chamoisai, and Chamoisai was married. So somebody was ba on Chamoisai, she's an erva, and she was also an Eshes Ish, which is also an erva. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you're not going to be chayiv two. You want to be chayiv one. You're not going to be chayiv the mochamor. You'll be chayiv the first one that was chal. And how are you going to determine the first one that was chal? Well, did she become your mother-in-law first? Or did she become an Eshes Ish first? And he explained, Chamoisei v'nasish Eshes Ish, if first she was your mother-in-law, and then she got married. So for example, Reuven got married, his wife's mother at the time was not married. So she was Chamoisei, as soon as he stood under the chuppah, so his wife's mother became Chamoisei, became a shviger. But she wasn't an Eshes Ish at the time, because she wasn't married. So if later she becomes an Eshes Ish, nidim b'chamoisei, he's going to be punished for Chamoisei, because that's the one that came first. Eshes Ish v'nasa Chamoisei. However, if a person gets married and his mother-in-law is married, said even before he stood under the chuppah, his mother-in-law was already Eshes Ish, not a Chamoisei, but an Eshes Ish,
ish. So then it was eshes ish v'nasach hamoyis. So in that case, nidam eshes ish, you're going to be punished for eshes ish. So what's the kasha? The kasha is l'churi. You see, Rabbi Yossi holds. Rabbi Yossi holds when it comes to chamoisai ve'eshes ish, what's the halacha? It depends on what the zikur rishona was. Which issa was there first? If she was first chamoisai, you need the mishum chamoisai. If she was first an eshes ish, you'll be need the mishum eshes ish. How does this shtim with our Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi said that if the yavam would be ba on an achis isha that falls liyibim, he's always going to be chayiv too. And it sounds like it doesn't matter if it was nasa meis v'achach nasa chay, nasa chay, achach nasa meis. In either case, the halach is going to be, you're going to be chayiv too. Why are you chayiv too? What happened to inis achal alisa? What's the difference between the achis isha and the eshes ach being chal on each other versus the chamoisnoi and the eshes ish being chal on each other? Amar Rabbi Vos said there's a chilek. You have to say that sometimes Rabbi Yossi holds Isser chal aliser, and sometimes Rabbi Yossi holds ainus chal aliser. Meaning from chamoisev eshes ish that you need the mazikur rishon, it's clear Rabbi Yossi sometimes holds ainus chal aliser. But at the same time, from achis ish and eshes ach, you see sometimes he holds isser chal aliser. Okay, so when does Rabbi Yossi hold isser chal aliser? But isser moisev. In the event that it was isser moisev. So what does isser moisev mean? So in the sugya of Ein Isser Chal Aliser, there are a few exceptions to the rule. A few very, very notable exceptions to the rule. Exceptions that the Gemara talks about in many different places in Shas. The first exception is always going to be Issa Moisef. And Issa Moisef states that if something is Aser, and now another Issa wants to be Chal on it, usually you would say, Alzeh Ne'emar, Ein Isser Chal Aliser. But if the second Isser is going to be more expansive than the first Isser, so in that case, the halach is going to be that you could say Isser Chal Aliser. So for example, in the case where first Shimon got married, and then afterwards Reuven got married. So Shimon got married, and as soon as Shimon got married, he became Aser to his wife's sister. Then Reuven married his wife's sister. Reuven's his brother. So because Reuven's his brother, so now she became an Eshes Ach, an Issa Chal Aliser. She was ready in Achis Isha. That's true. But when she gets married, now the sister does to Shimon, she doesn't only become an Eshes Ach to Shimon, she becomes an Eshes Ach to any brother that Reuven and Shimon might have. So if this Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, and then Shimon's married to this woman, and Reuven married Shimon's wife's sister, so it's true, klapi Shimon, there's nothing really being nischadish when Reuven marries this woman, but klapi Levi and Yehuda and the other brothers it is. So we say that Migu, the itoisef iser legabe achim, being that it's chal iser for the brothers, so we say that it's chal even for the place where there's an ein iser chal al iser. So that would be a concept of iser moisef. Again, what's iser moisef? When an iser is going to be chal on iser, which is ordinarily an issue, but that iser that's going to be chal, the chepta, what's the iser? Eshesach, that's what we're talking about. There's eshesach that's being chal. So once it's being chal eshesach on Levi and Yehuda, it can be chal eshesach on Shimon as well. So Zokta Gemara, you want to know why Rabbi Yossi holds that when it comes to the halacha of achis ish and eshes ach, it could be chal iser on iser. It's because in that case it's iser moisev, and because it's iser moisev, Rabbi Yossi holds iser chal iser by moisev. So by chamoisev eshes ish, there's no iser moisev. Over there, it's a regulain iser chal iser. Because it's a regulain iser chal iser, so it's for that reason over there, Rabbi Yossi says that you always go with the zikri shayin. However, in a case where there's an iser moisev, it's going to be okay. But the Gemara says tenach, that's all good. Hechad nasa chay v'achach nasa meis. That's good. At first Shimon got married, and then Reuven got married. Because then we say, Migu di toysef isa legabi achim, being that there's an isa moysef, like we just said, for Levi and Yehuda, toysef isa legabi didei. So then we could say, isa moysef legabi Shimon. Elohecha, danasa meis vachach nasachai. But in the event that first Reuven got married, and then Shimon got married, my isa moysef, what isa moysef is there? Over here, there is no isa moysef. So the Gemara says, meaning why? Because when Reuven got married first, and then Shimon marries the sister, so Shimon now is going to become an achis isha to Reuven's wife. But there's no achis isha that's being chal on Reuven's wife other than Reuven's wife. And Reuven's wife was anyways an Eshes Ach. So there's no Isser Moisef in Achis Isha, because when he marries now Reuven's wife's sister, so Reuven's wife becomes an Achis Isha, but she's anyways an Eshes Ach, the Ein Issa Chal Aliser. And there's no Issa Moisef that says, well, she's also becoming an Achis Isha to who else is she becoming an Achis Isha to? No one else. So because she's not becoming an Issa Achis Isha to anybody else, so therefore it's not going to be a problem. But the Gemara says it's still an Eitzah. Maybe I'll tell you that Migu de Itzer Bekulu Achvisa, Maybe there is a migu. Maybe there's another cheshbon why you should say ein esachal leser. And that is, there's halacha of iser moisif, which is a carve out in the laws of ein esachal leser. But there's another very notable exception to the rule of ein esachal leser, and that's iser koil. So what's iser koil? Iser koil is similar to iser moisif, but it's not the same thing. Kimavur very, very strongly in our sugya. And that is, iser koil would be where there was, let's take our example, where Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters. First, Reuven got married. So when Reuven got married, Eishes Reuven was already usher to Shimon as an Eishesach. Then Shimon marries her sister. When Shimon marries her sister, so now Eishes Reuven would become an Achis Isha. But she's usher already. And because she's usher already, ein esachal iser. And there's no iser moisef because she's not becoming an achis isha to anyone else. But you know what's still unique about this case? When Reuven married his wife, I'm sorry, when Shimon married his wife, who's Reuven's wife's sister, he didn't just become usher ba'achis isha to Eishes Reuven, but really he became usher ba'achis isha to any one of the sisters that his wife might have. So there's another svara to say that migu, that it's going to be chal achis isha on your wife's other sisters, so it could also be chal achis isha on this sister, despite the fact that she's already in eshesach. This is what's known as iser koil. And the reason this is different is, iser moisef is where the actual iser that's going to be chal on this woman is being chal on this woman, albeit regarding another brother. Where the ein esachal iser is negeya the eshesach. She's becoming an eshesach. She's just becoming an eshesach to Levi and Yehuda, not to Shimon. Al zeh nemar, iser moisef says that she could become an eshesach to Shimon as well, as opposed to achis isha over here, when Eishes Reuven becomes an achis isha to Shimon, she's not becoming an achis isha to anyone else. But there is a svara that when Eishes Reuven becomes an achis isha, maybe there are five other women that are also becoming achis ishas. So you could say migu that it's chal the achis isha on the other fray, it's also chal on her. The reason Issa Moisef is more than Issa Koil is because Issa Moisef is the actual Isser that's being chal on this woman somewhere else. You just want to apply with a migu here as well. Over here, it's the actual Isser that you want to apply to the second Isser is not being chal for this woman anywhere. It's being chal for other frayim, or benishva that fray. And therefore, it's not on the same level. It's what's known as Issa Koil. So the Gemara says that maybe you'll tell me that even in the case where it was Nasa, Meis, Vachakach, Nasa, Chai, there too, you can tell me that there's an iser. There's no iser moisef. You tell me what do you mean? She's becoming us. He's becoming us now to all her other sisters. So the Gemara says iser koil. That's iser koil. That's not iser moisef. And meich teisir Rabbi Yosi holds of iser koil. Now Tosfos, if you look at the top line of Tosfos, v'im toimer v'dumu Rabbi Yosi isle nami iser koil. How do you know Rabbi Yosi doesn't hold of iser koil? Throughout Shas, this iser moisef, this iser koil. So the Gemara is coming with a whole blitz, assuming for a davar pashut that even though Rabbi Yosi holds of iser moisef, doesn't hold of iser koil, that's the Gemara's kasha. Either way, as I freak the Gemara, Elamai Rava. So Rava said you have to say a different teretz. You have to say that la'olam Rabbi Yosi holds ein esachal aliser. The haraya that Rabbi Yosi holds ein esachal aliser because of the case of chamoisev and asa eshesish that you always need the mezikah rishona. I, why did Rabbi Yosi say that if someone's ba on an achis isha that falls liyibam is chayev shtayim? So the Gemara says you have to say that he didn't really mean yichayev shtayim, but rather malani olav ki ilu asa shtayim, not literally chayev shtayim, but we view it. Ilui would have been chayiv shteim, but any chayiv ala achas really is only going to be chayiv one. Chen ki asa rav, and Rabbi Yochanan, Rav came, he sent the name Rabbi Yochanan. Malani olav kilu asa beis, but any chayiv ala achas. That really you're only going to be chayiv one. Meaning you chayiv one. The reason you chayiv one is because la olam ein iser chal al iser. So what does it mean? You chayiv two. We view it as if you were chayiv two. What does that mean? So the Gemara, my nafkemino, the koyri ben Rishon gemur. Nafkemino would be that he would be buried ben Rishon gemur. Rashi says that the background to this is a Mishnah Masechtas Sanhedrin that says that there were special batei kfaris for people that were chayiv mises bezin. So people that got mises bezin were buried in special batei kfaris. In fact, there were shtei kfaris hayu misukonim lebezin. Reading from Rashi, echol b'nerogim v'nechenokim. One was for people that were chayiv herig and chenik, and the other was for people that were chayiv skila and sreifa. And really, in order for a person to qualify to any one of these respective batei kfaris in a bad way, you had to earn it. So it depended on what you were chayiv. If somebody would be ba on an achis isha, eshesach, even though it's true, ein esachal aliser, abel maisa, you did two averis. And if you did two averis, then the halacha would be you'd be chayv shtayim and lekayvay ben rishon gemurim. This person would be buried with the rishon gemurim, even though Rashi says he didn't do any averes for shichayim misas pesim because sai achis isha and sai echasach are merely chayve krisos. But afal pinkein, once this person dies, they're going to bury him ben rishon gemurim, and that's where chapsa nafkamina. So you're right, there's no nafkamina in the world of einis achal lisser. The nafkamina is simply in the world of lekayvay ben rishon gemurim, and we're going to stop here prematurely. Exhale. And speak out a little bit of rate. So again, really, Yevamis daf lamed beis, Sai Amid Aleph and Sai Amid beis is fest from a rate perspective. Amid Aleph is the Grace of Gemara about Isser Achis Isha's Mitl Toy Vekoy. Taisus here on the Amid with the Briskarov and a lot of the alumnus that we alluded to. Amid beis is the Sugi of Enes Achal Alisser, which is one of the greatest Sugis in Shas. But as relates to today's rate, I think it's Kedai to go back to what we've been talking about the last few days, and that is the Cherim. The Rabbeinu Gershom. So just a little bit of a sikum of where we're up to as far as the Cherim de Rabbeinu Gershom goes, the Ein Beis Medrash B'loi Chiddush. And that is, so we saw a few very big chedushim from the Rishonim and the Gedoyli Apoiskim as it relates to the Takana, the Cherim de Rabbeinu Gershom made, which states that a person is not allowed to marry a second wife. Number one, the Ramban in Mishpat HaCherim, who discusses in great detail that a cherim is a din d'oraisa. Now is it a din d'oraisa? It's merum as an apostolic in Parshas Bechukosai, which states that if a melech would impose a cherim, he would impose a takana, and he would say that if somebody violates this takana, he should be put in cherim. If the melech deems appropriate, he can even kill the person. The lashon of the Ramban is be'ezen misa sheyirtza. He can give him skila, srefa, chena. He can do whatever he wants. He has the authority to go ahead and kill this person. This is true for all charamim, which would mean it's true for the cherim de Rabbeinu Gershom. So Rabbeinu Gershom, Aragoyla, in the 10th century, made a takana that even though midayraisim de Rabbanu, it's mutter for a person to be married to more than one wife, but I'm decreeing that it's aser. It's not like, okay, it's Rabbeinu Gershom said so, but it's not the end of the world. If Rabbeinu Gershom imposed it, and he imposed it as a cherim, it means that it had the toikif of a din d'oraisa. That's chiddush number one. Number two, which was a little bit of a chiddush, is that it seems that the ikar hatakana of Rabbeinu Gershom was a big mevucha amongst the Rishonim. The Rashba says a lashon in one of his tshuvas, he says, ikar hatakana lo yodati. As it relates to the ikar hatakana, he says, I'm novuch in it. I don't know 100%. I'm not really so familiar with the nuances. And that's why if you look in the Rishonim, tshuvas from the Rashba, tshuva from the Ran. There's some very, very important tshuvas that the Rishonim wrote on the Cherim de Rabbeinu Gershom, where they were mesupik in a lot of the high-level points as it relates to what the takana was. The few that we mentioned was, number one, when Rabbeinu Gershom made the takana, did he mean that the takana should be for every single yid, b'chol mekom yishahem, or was it really more for the yidin that lived maybe in Medinas Ashkenaz, or yidin that lived under his governance? Rabbeinu Gershom made this takana. Did he mean that the takana should be here forever? Or was there an expiration date? The Rashba said that he had a Masaira that the takana was meant to be in place until the end of the Elef HaChamishe, which was the year 1239. And finally, did Rabbeinu Gershom mean it even b'makai mitzvah or only shaloi b'makai mitzvah? Meaning, what would happen if a Yavama falls Yavam to a Yavam who's already married? So based on the Cherim of Rabbeinu Gershom, he should not be able to take another wife. Or inami, maybe not. Maybe Rabbeinu Gershom never meant to make this takana in such a case. What happens if there's a man that was married for many, many years and he had no children? And he doesn't want to divorce his wife, mipnei darkei shalom. So the question is, can he now take another wife? He's violating the Cherim de Rabbeinu Gershom, but he's doing it to be mekayim a mitzvah saseh deiraisa, the mitzvah puravu. So these were all things that were very much debated by the Rishonim. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, and it's primarily one sif katan, it's Eben Ezra Simen Aleph, Sivkot and Yud. What emerges from the Shitas HaRama, which is what the Bnei Ashkenaz followed, is that as it relates to where Rabbeinu Gershom made his takana, we have to assume that if you live in a place, unless proven otherwise, we assume that the Cherim de Rabbeinu Gershom is going to apply to that place. As it relates to up until when Rabbeinu Gershom made his takana, So the Ramah goes with what the Mechaber says, and that is that, like the Rashba says, it was at Soifa Elef HaChamishi. However, the Ramah says that even now, into the Elef HaShishi, we're obligated to continue this minig, and we're mechuyif to keep and continue to go with the Cherim de Rabbeinu Gershon. And finally, as it relates to whether or not Rabbeinu Gershon made this takana, even b'makay mitzvah, the Mechaber says, clearly only b'makay mitzvah, the Ramah brings that sheet, and then he says, v'yesh chalkim, there are those that are chaylik, and there are those that hold, that could be b'makay mitzvah, it's not going to be a problem. So in English, what does this mean, l'maisa? Halacha l'maisa, as it relates to Chaim, the Rabbeinu Gershon. Not mamash halacha l'maisa. But what's the takeaway from learning the Mechaber and the Ramah? Here's the takeaway. That although the Iker Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershon was a Dairaisa, again, if you never learned the Sugya of Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershon, it'd be impossible to think that it was a Dairaisa. But it's clear in the Rishon, it could not be more clear. It's a din that the Iker Takana, one was biblically obligated to follow. Someone with violate Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershon is over an Issa Dairaisa Lagami. No, if spots are one. So even though the original Chaim was a Dairaisa, but that only went up until the Seif HaElef HaChamishi. Once the year turned from 1239 to 1240, Be'erech, at that point, sin is no issue anymore. And at that point, it's not an Issa Dairaisa. All it is the Rabban. Rambam says himself to keep it. But at that point, it's an Issa Rabban. It's a major downgrade. It went from being an Issa Dairaisa to now being an Issa Rabban. And not just that, it's Mavur Klar in the Ramah that Yesh Lahakel big time B'makim Mitzvah. Where do you see it? The Ramah said Yesh Chalkim and say it's a problem. Because it's Yodua in Klali Apsak that whenever the Ramah brings two Shitas, the Yesh Oimrim is always the Tzah Tafel. So the Mechaber says B'makim Mitzvah, there's no Chaim Darbeinu Gershon. And even the Ramah said that the Iker Tzad is that B'makim is no Chaim Darbeinu Gershon. He brought a Yesh Chalkim. So if it's a Yesh Chalkim, it becomes already a Tzad Rachak. So as it relates Al Kopanim, this is just segueing into the Rebbein. As it relates to B'makim Mitzvah, B'zman Hazeh, it feels like from the Iker Halacha, that is a gruesome makim to be made on Chaim Darbeinu Gershon. Number one, because today it's only a Drabonim, which means that whenever you're dealing with a Drabonim, you can always find svaras to be mitzvah, to be makel in a shayla. And the makim mitzvah, the mechaber, and the ikur day of the Ramah is that you can be makel. Based on that, the chayra, there's a stark kasha that you can be ma'ir. And that is, there were many tshuvas that were written by Gedolei Yisrael as it relates to what happens if there's a man whose wife went away. She's been away for an extended period of time, and he hasn't heard from her. Now, in the times of Chazal, there was a whole perek, and some of the most festive sugis in Shas that were dedicated to this shayla, where there was an isha shahalach baylo l'mdina sayam. In the zalacha mishum aguna kilu bei rabbanon, daike isha minzava, be'edus isha hikilu, so many different sugis that are all me'inyan le'inyan ba'is inyan, the shev shmeitzen, shmeitzen zayin, it's all meirichin, all the different shittas, and this is dvarim ma'im dem rume shal oilam, some of the most basic foundational yisoides of nash in the zikah. In the reverse case, Chazal never talked about. Why not? Because a ish, shahalach ish, talam dinas ayam, it's not a shayla. It's not ton shaylas rav. If you want to get married, get married. It wasn't a problem. You were allowed to marry more than one wife. But then Rabbeinu Gershon made a chair. And because Rabbeinu Gershon made a chair, it was also to marry another wife. So suddenly there was a shayla that had never, ever been a shayla. It never crossed the rabbi's desk in Jewish history. All of a sudden it started popping up. And they said, here's a man, his wife went to Medina Sayami, he hasn't heard from her for a while. He's the male version of an aguna. He's an ogun. So what's he supposed to do? So we spoke about this. This was Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershon part two, right? We spoke about this by Richos. We mentioned the Beis Shmuel and Simen Kuf Nun Ches, and the Noid Yehuda and Evan Ezer Tinyana, Simen Ches, and in so many of his other tshuvas. But this was something that was discussed. How do you view this man? Meaning, do you say Mishum Ogun Akilu Bei Rabbana, just like you say Mishum Miguna? Are you going to trust in Eid Echad? Or you're not going to trust Eid Echad? A fascinating, mesmerizing shayla. But here's the pella. L'chura, this man was married. Now he's not married anymore. His wife went away. L'chura, if he's living by himself, so really he's not living B'Kedusha V'Tahira. U'Nishmartem Mikol Davera, Ein Adam Nitzel Meher Hurei Aveira. So why don't we say that Mishum Mitzvah Lefrushe Me'isura, so he should have Pas Pesala, he should be able to get married. Chayra, that's a real inyan. And you can even their hair, certainly in the Chassidish Svarim, that it's even more chamer than Yavama Yavayalel, than Pru Urvu. This is a person that right now is living by Yechidus. He was married. He's waiting for his wife to come home. His mom is standing by the window. And she's not home. So L'chayra, you can hear that Ein L'cham Mitzvah G'day L'mizu. So if that's the case, what was Pshat on all these Shailas? Bizman hazeh, it's mevur in the Ramah Klar, that the whole Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershon is a derabbanan. So we know you can go to with a Kayach Dater. There's no question about that. Undisputable. As I state Mefurish and Ramah, that Kimoshe says, and like Yudin is true to say, it's clear that's the way it is. So today, really, all it is a Nisa de Rabbanan. And B'mokim Mitzvah, the Iker Deya, for sure in the Beis Yosef, and even in the Ramah, is that you can be Mekel. So if you can be Mekel B'mokim Yavama Yavoy Aleh, you can be Mekel B'mokim Puravu, Lechura, why can't you be Mekel B'mokim this person? Right, we learned the Gemara together, Mesachtes Yuma, Rav, whenever he used to travel, he would say, Man Havi Leyoyma, Lefisha Eina Doyma, Misha Yeshle Pas, Besala, Misha Eina Pas, he got married for one day. So we have the raid by from Reuven Margolis, what that really means. But the bottom line is, Ein Mikra Yosef Midei Pshuta, it's a Mefurish Gemara. So in the beginning of Man Havi Leyoyma, Yesh Leymar, a Ha'ara, that why is it that we wouldn't view all these cases as B'makam Mitzvah, and once we view it as a B'makam Mitzvah, so L'chayra, maybe we should be able to be Mekel. So the emes is, this Ha'ara, it's not my Ha'ara, it's the Ha'ara from Rashke Bahag, Harav HaGoyin, Rabbi Cheskel Landau, in his Tshuvas Noy de B'Yehuda. So Noy de B'Yehuda wrote many, many Tshuvas on this topic. It takes time to go through all these Tshuvas. But I found this Ha'ara in a Tshuva. And this is in Madura Tinyana, Evin HaEzer. It's in Simin Vav. And Maisa Shehoye Kachoye. By the way, this Maisa appears in several Tshuvas. This exact story. It came up again and again and again in the Tshuvas of the Noy de B'Yehuda. Specifically right here, it's Simin Vav and it's Simin Zayin. So back to back, you have two Tshuvas where the Noy de B'Yehuda discussed this Shaila. The case was where there was a man who was married, and there was a Rav, Ayihi Rav Ba'aretz. And it was a Rav Lolechem, it was a Tzomel Amayim. And the situation was very, very desperate. And they decided, this husband and wife did, that his wife, she was going to be the one to go out and fend for the family. She actually took the family with her. And she, together with the kids, they start drengzach, and they're going to try to find food. So she leaves town, and she's going to bring back some, literally, bread, so the family should have what to eat. But she never returned. And day after day, and week after week, and month after month, and now it's already year after year passed, and she never came back. And this man's trying to find out where his wife, he doesn't know, maybe she died in the hunger. She went with the family. So he literally lost his entire family, and he has no idea what's happening. It's already been 8 years, and he still hasn't heard from his wife. And he went to his local Rav, and he asked his Rav, that maybe you can give me an Eitzah, I have to get married. I want to get married. And Lamaisa, I haven't heard from my wife. I'm an Ogun. Is there an Eitzah? So many years passed. There was a hunger. She probably died. I mean, I would have heard from her. As far as I know, we were on good terms. I don't think she was going to the other side of the world to start a new family. So the Chayra, where is she? I have no idea where she is. And he came with a Taina, and he wanted to, she wanted to be able to get married. Lamaisa, the Rav wasn't sure how to handle this, so what did he do? He sent it to the God of Adar, he sent it to the Noy de B'Yehuda. So Noy de B'Yehuda wrote a tshuva. These are short tshuvas, incidentally. And he wrote a tshuva in Simen Vav, and at the beginning of the tshuva, he writes, you know, V'shal malasa yim yesh lahatalei chayim rabbeinu gershom oira goyla. So he writes to him, lo yodati limtsoi loy ezer, which is a pun, of course, right? Ezer connecta. So he says, lo yodati limtsoi loy ezer. I'm trying to help him, but he says, I don't know if I can help him. At first glance, I have no eitzah to help him. He says, why? Because at the end of the day, she's left alive. Because she left alive, she has a chazaka that she's still alive. A person has a cheskas chayim. This is based on Usugi Mesach, this getting daf chav ches. But she's becheskas chayim. The children are also becheskas chayim, which means that as far as we know, he's married and he was mekayim the mitzvah puravu. Right, if the children didn't have a cheskas chayim, so then you could say it's b'makom mitzvah because he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah puravu. So then already we can maybe find a way to be mekel. But he says she's b'cheskas chayim, so as far as I know, he's married. His children are b'cheskas chayim, so as far as I know, he was and is being mekayim the mitzvah puravu. So he says, based on that, I don't really have an eitzah for you. But then the Noy de B'Yehuda says, there's one thing maybe. V'hine, yesh limtsoi derech het v'loim. Da'filu la'asoyfrim. Listen to this. That even according to the Rishonim that old, that Rabbeinu Gershom was Goyzer even by Makom Mitzvah, like the Yesh Cholkim that the Ramah brings, that's by Bittul Piri V'Rivya. But that's because the Avera that this person is doing is Besheva Al Taisa. He's not being the kind of mitzvah Puruvu. Just because this person violates the Chaim Rabbein Ugeshim, he takes another wife. There's no guarantee he's going to have children either. Right? He was just married for many years, never had kids. So maybe if he marries another woman, he's also not going to have kids. So the shittas that hold that even B'makom Mitzvah, we enforce Chaim Rabbein Ugeshim, it's because number one, we're telling the person, don't do Mrs. Puravu V'Shev Al Taisa. And number two, it's Kulei Hai V'Ulai. How do you know that if he goes ahead and gets married, it's not ultimately is going to have children. But let's say there's a person that because of Chayim Derabbeinu Gershom he's being nichshol in Avera. Voy gozer. Since it's mistaber, even that sheet is going to hold that he didn't make the gzeira. Umisha yesh lo yisha. He says, if a person's married, even if she has no children, and even if he's not being Makai the Mitzvah Puru Revut, Mikomokim Nitzel Ayideza Me Avera, he's being protected from Avera. Umisha Yoisha Beloy Isha could be Nichshol Berhuri Avera. Bechol Yoim. Velav Kuli Almehim Kirav Safra, the Havar Rabba Kador Bekrach, Psochim Kufi Gimel Amar Aleph, where Rav Safra was able to be a rabbi living in a big city and he didn't do any Averas. So he says, if that's the case, there's a starker Mokim to say that this is a Bemokim Mitzvah. Because for 8 years he's been waiting to get married. And not only is it a shtarke b'mokke mitzvah, but this is an avera and could be b'kai gavne, even the yesh chalkim in the Ramah, in Sivkot Yud would be meider, that this is something that would be okay. A bezokter, zokter noy de Behuda, that as much as I think it's a shtarke svara, and he says, v'yesh l'daber b'zeh, there's a lot of merit to this taina. But at the same time, mikom mokkeim, I'm not masking. Because nasato dvarecha l'shiurim. Because if you're going to go along with this, then ultimately you're going to open up a Pandora's box and a slippery slope, and the whole Chayim Derabbeinu Gershom is going to be out the window. He says, you know why? Because what happens if there's going to be a woman? She went away for a short period of time. He's going to decide, oh, he's living by Veira, and that's it. He needs to get married. What's going to be if a person's wife is sick? She's not well. And because she's not well, she can't be noyeg. So that's it. All of a sudden, now there's a het chaim derabbeinu gashem. He says, "Chas v'shalom to do that." So he says, "Here's my maskana." So he says, "V'lochein ein l'daiti l'hater b'zeh." He says, "I can't be matter." V'gam iser eini yomer b'uv dada. But at the same time, I'm not saying iser. This is like the ultimate politician's tshuva. He says, "I can't be matter," and at the same time, I can't oiser. Kivin shekvar yoshev zman shmoyne shana b'leishik. This is already 8 years. Vim yimtsa mei rabbanon sheyatiru loy. Says, if you can get a hetem mei rabbanon, loy emcha b'yadai. I won't be meicha. Sounds like I won't sign. I won't be one of the 100. But at the same time, I'm not going to be meicha. So the Noid B'Yud said, I can't be mater. I can't aser. If you find a hetem mei rabbanon, I won't be meicha. This is basically the Psak of Noid B'Yudah. But as it relates to this Taina, this festive Taina, the Noid B'Yudah, Noid B'Yudah said it's a starke Taina and it's oisgehalten. There's no question in the lumdus of the Sugi of Chayim Derabbeinu Gershom, B'kai Gamna, if a man is, if there's an extended period of time and there's a question of Nichshol Ba'Aveira, that's not what Rabbeinu Gershom intended when he made his Chayim. And for sure, this person should be able to get married. But at the same time, Nasatat Varecha L'Shiurim. And he says, I don't know where you draw this line. And if I'm going to issue a heta like this, the whole Chayim Derabbeinu Gershom, you could throw out the window. And even with a hetem mei rabbonim, he wasn't sure if he was willing to go along. The hetem mei rabbonim, there's bigger kulas that people do. But even this, he wasn't sure he was willing to go along with this. He was a little bit uncomfortable. It's interesting, the very, very next simon, there's a postscript to this story. The postscript is that the Neid Yudah received another shiloh, that this yid, Hatzachitaka, he wasn't able to hold control himself, and he ended up doing averis. And there were rumors that were spreading that this person was mamash being mezana, and it was mamash geferlich. And he went to the Rav and he says, you see, I'm an oynis, and it's all because of the fact that you're not letting me get married. And he says, as a result, now you have to give me a hetter. And the Rav heard him out of shtickle. And the Rav wrote to the Neid Behuda that I think there's a makar. He was really trying to help him. I think there's a basis for this. A gemara in Gittin daf mem gimel amid beis. This is a classic gemara. The gemara over there discusses a chetzia shifcha v'chetzia baschayim. So this is the female version of the chetzia yevet chetzia ben chayim. And the gemara tells a ma'aseh shaya chachaya. There was a chetzia shifcha chetzia baschayim, and she was living in a kehila, and you know, she belonged to someone, and there were a lot of men that were being mezana with her. So they went to one of the amiran, and he said that you have to force the adon to give a get. Why? Because you have to just free her. It's like this, she's going to move away. And like this, people are going to stop doing averis. It's usher for a person to free a shifcha. It's true. This is something that we go ahead, and this is something that we do. And it's Mavur and Taisvis over there in that sugya. Taisvis says, that I understand, you're telling the Odin that he should do an Avera? Wait, what's the Avera? You're not allowed to free your slave. To protect other people from doing Averas, he says, and all the raid bites that we have, related to that. That it's true. But over here, these people were oinsim. And because they were oinsim, so for that reason, it's different. And when it comes to saving a person from doing an aveira, where he's partial and oinus to do the aveira, they were oinsim. Why? This woman was there and she was mamish seducing people to do an aveira. So because of the cheshbon of oinus, so therefore we bail them out and we tell this person, do a small aveira, to protect all these people from the grace aveira of Gilui Arayis. So this Rav told the Noi to be Yehuda. So you see that when there's someone that's being mezana in such an oifen, there's a begather of oinus. There's a begather of oinus. You mamish have to help this guy. So he's mamish at the point where he needs help. So Noi Yehuda told him, he says, this is mamish amiratzis. He says, I understand what you're saying. Over there in the Gemara Masechtas Gittin, who was the oinist? All these other people were being seduced into the Aveira. She was the one that was causing the other people. There was one woman that was being machshel a bunch of men. So all those men had a din of an oinist because there's one woman that's being machshel all of them. Over here, he's the troublemaker. He's the man that's being machshel all these women. So because he's the one that's doing it, we're not going to go save him. We're saving the men because there's one woman that's causing the problems to the man. But over here, he's the man. He's the Sibas Ha'isr. So he's the Sibas Ha'isr. Mehechatei, so you should do it. Now, it turns out that when this second tshuva was sent to the Noi de Bihuda, this man had found already an Eidachot. Remember, she had an Eidachot, Nevan Bisurim, and he came forward, he says, oh, I know, I heard your wife. Your wife is dead. So the Noi de Bihuda wrote to him like this. He said, you should know, my shita is, you're sending this to the right rabbi, because my shita is, that was great bite number two, that Eidus Isha, just like we believe in Eid Echad, so too when it comes to Eidus Ish in the reverse, we believe in Eid Echad as well. But the Noi Yehuda says that there's something fishy about this whole story. Says, I'm not trusting this man. You're telling me he's being mezanan, and the whole thing to me, all of a sudden he found an Eid Echad, something's not clapping over here, and the Yehuda dismissed him. He says, I'm not willing to go back. But either way, this was the two truths that Yehuda wrote here in Ebenezer, Tinyana, Vav and Zayin, where he discussed this Shaila, where he was entertaining a new svara that it could be if the man is living behir avera, so maybe that would be enough of a b'maka mitzvah. It could be even more than a regular b'maka mitzvah, al tzlif frusha meyisura, and maybe that would be enough of a reason for us to go ahead and allow the cherem de Rabbeinu Gashem. But ultimately, the Yehuda wasn't comfortable with it. It was something that he didn't like. It's interesting, in the Lukutei Aris in the back of the new Noida B'Yehudas, so they bring that the Heilige Divrei Chaim. This is in Shailos Hachuvas Divrei Chaim. It's Eben Ezra Aleph, it's Simon Aleph. So he was asked a very similar shail. These were not atypical shaylas once upon a time. Today, a shayla like this come out not heard of. But once upon a time, this was shaylas. All the G'dayli Apoyskim in their tshuvas farm. There's a tshuva from Martcha Banet where he discusses this. I was going through different tshuvas. This every single shayl umeshiv handled shaylas like this. So the Divrei Chaim in his first tshuva in Eben Ezra, he brings this Noida B'Yehuda and he's very, very taken aback. His lashon is, he says, Ach bazeh lo yodati lama hichmir kolkach. He says, I don't understand why the Rebbe was so machmer. He feels like he was a little too machmer. At the end of the day, he made a good taina. Even behet the mayor Rabbanim, he says he's not sure if he's going to be mitzdarif. He says he doesn't understand why he was so machmer. But the Emma says, if you look in the Noi de Yehuda, you see why he was so machmer. Again, the Rechayim still didn't understand it. But the Maisa, Al Kopanim, where he was coming from, he felt Lamigdal Milsa, this is something that he had to do. And the truth is, that's also Mefurish and another Tshuvas Noida B'Yehuda. So this is also Madura Tinyana. It's in Siman Kuf Mem Zayin. Now, we've mentioned many times over the years that many of the Tshuvas in Madura Tinyana Noida B'Yehuda weren't written by the Noida B'Yehuda. They were written by the Noida B'Yehuda's son, Rabbi Shmuel Landau. Tshuvas Miben HaMechaber. So a lot of the Tshuvas were written by his son. So this was a Shaila where Rabbi Shmuel Landau was asked something similar, again, a similar situation. So he writes back like this. Just listen to some of the Lashonis, especially for the Sfarim aficionados. This is interesting. Vehine, Ovi Moiri Agoyinzal, Besifre Noida B'Yehuda Madura Tinyana, Asherani Oisik Eis Bahad Fasasa. So he says, as he's sending me this Shaila, I'm in the middle of printing Noida B'Yehuda Madura Tinyana. The Krach Rishon Shehudine Shulchan Aruch Erechaim V'Yerudea Nigmar Kuloi Baruch Hashem. He says, the first part of Madura Tinyana, which is Erechaim Yerudea, I already finished. Ube Krach Hasheni Shehudine Shulchan Aruch Evene Ezev Chosha Mishpat, he got I'm already more than halfway done. I already finished 92 pages. Feels like there's going to be like a fundraiser coming at the end of this paragraph. This rather not. He says, I hope that within the next 2 months, I'm going to be finished. Okay. The Sham, incidentally, the Noida B'Yehuda's Sefer was, Noida B'Yehuda had a son that was a Gersa Gvir. And that son was the one that paid for it. There's a lot of history on this. But anyways, total digression. So Visham Nitfasu Shtei Tshuvas. He says, the Olam doesn't know this because no one saw Madura Tinyana yet. I have it. I'm working on it right now. I actually put it together. And there's two Tshuvas on this inyan. Tshuva Vav, the Tshuva Zayin. The two Tshuvas that we just spoke at. And here, he grabbed adds a lot of information. You see, a lot of the Tshuvas were edited when they were printed. So, for example, he tells you the name of the Rav. He tells you the name of the husband. He has, well, this is, it's B'Shem HaMalchus right here in this Tshuva. He gives you all the names. He goes through the whole Tshuva, and he writes at the end that the emes is, I don't really hear my father's psak. He was a maskim. The Divichayim didn't hear it. He didn't either hear it. So this is what he writes. Amna Chalila Li, Liya is Ketamad HaChelik HaRabbi, Lahatir Dover, Asha Avi Meiri Agoyin, Zechreinu Levracha Hayim, Memayim. He says, Cholilali, I will not be, even though I don't understand the Tata, I went through this Shuvah, Zech Vashteyes Nish. Oh, but the Tata, Tazayge Paskin, I'm not going Kineged. Cholilali, the Talmud, Achilik, a rabbi, I'm never going to do that. Omnam. Here's the line, Niramit Vara, but you see one thing from the Shuvah, Shloihichmer Midina. He was not Machmer Mi Ikeredin. Rak Bika Matzah, the Godar Bogeder. He said he saw Bika, the God of Bagad. He saw open land and he felt that he had to protect it by building a fence. The God of Bagad, and this is something that he did. Meaning, he, of course, Mi'ikar Adin, the Noid Behudu could have been matter. Certainly would have had to make Rabbanim. He held he could be matter Mi'ikar Adin. And with a Hetame Rabbanim, Zichr, you could have done it. But at the same time, he held Bika Matzah, the God of Bagadar, and for whatever reason, and usually it has to do with what was going on in the world at the time, this is the onset of the Haskalah, and you could see why the Maskilim would have felt that Chayim Darbeinu Gershon is not pertinent anymore. I mean, all it was a Takana in the first place. It expired at the end of the Elef HaChamishi. If you go through the Paiskim, it sounds like most Ruba the Ruba of cases of Rabbeinu Gershon, it wouldn't even be Negev. So you could see why this was something that he would have felt that he had enforced. And because of the slippery slope nature of this particular Indian, where you're going to be matured based on the fact that you want to be matzal someone from Heruri Aveira, that's something that, like the Noid Behuda says, where's the Nasatut Varech L'Shiurim? Where are you going to ever draw the line? And it's because of that he was Machmer. So again, the Rechaim said, Lo Yodati Rama Hichmer Kol Kach. He says, I don't understand. But the emes is, this was like a Divrechaim type of Chumrah, right? This is what it was. It was Bika Matzah, the God of Bogeder. It was something that he just felt that he needed to do simply to go ahead and simply to be good together. But the point is that really, when it comes to these shailas, there really is a gruesome makim to be mekel. There's a very, very stark makim to be mekel, and to say the Rabbeinu Gershom really didn't make his takana in this instance. So I was looking at more contemporary tshuvas. I found one in the shailas of tshuvas, Minchas Usher. And this is in Chelik Beis. I'm not going to go through the whole arichas, but the shaila was sent him, incidentally, from the Av Bezdin in Moscow, Rav Pinchas Goldschmidt. So he was the shayil, and he had a maisa shayil, kachayil, where there was a story where a man got married, and he was chayza b'tshuva, and his wife wasn't chayza b'tshuva. And she's keeping kamad all the averes. He goes through in detail which mitzvah she keeps, but very, very few. And he's doing mitzvahs. And lamaisa, obviously, they spread apart, just based on the religious foundation. And he wants to give her a get, and she won't accept the get, and he writes, it's already years and years and years, I think 12 years that they haven't been noyig derech ishus, and he's looking for an eitz, and he wants a hetamei rabbah. He's trying to figure out a way if he can give zechen eitzah. So Rav Goldschmidt sent the shaila to Rav Usher Weiss, and he asked him, Lamdeinu Rabbeinu, and he writes back to him, it's poshet adam ha'oidei kimimekel. And one of the big svaras that he worked with, his ikka svara, was this time of the Noyde B'Yehuda. At the end of the day, this is a person who is living right now for so many years, and he's telling you that he needs to get married, and this is something that's important for his and Yonah Kedusha. So he says, how could you not give him a hetamei rabbanim? And this is something that he felt very, very strongly about. So clearly, just from contemporary shailas, this was a very big deal. But just to end this, just with one akuda, it's a hergish, that is, when Rabbeinu Gershom made his takana, right? You see this in the poskim very clearly. Rabbeinu Gershom's takana is that a person should not take a second wife into his house. Now you'll tell me, of course, no, once upon a time, it was normal. Culturally, it was very acceptable, and it was a very normal thing. The Gemara says, if someone could afford to have more than one wife, he was allowed to have more than one wife. And Rabbeinu Gershom observed that there was a Yerida Sadairis, and it wasn't working out in the Ben Adam L'Chaveira. There were poshut issues of Shalom, Mishum Ketata, and Rabbeinu Gershom made a Takana, Shlo Yisa Yisha L'Shtay. That was the essence of Rabbeinu Gershom's Takana. He just didn't want that people should have more than one wife. Now, if you have a person person that wasn't a kind of mitzvah purvu, it's not what he was referring to. You have a case of Yibum, that's not what he was referring to either. A man whose wife went to Medina Sayyam because Vayi Rav Ba'aretz, he hasn't heard from her in 8 years. You have a man that he's a chayza b'tshuva, this yid is mamish keeping Torah mitzvahs, and his wife is a Mechal Shabbos b'farhesia, doesn't, is fighting with him that not let his kids go to a frum school. She's not keeping Torah mitzvahs. So this man is not able to be noyik derech ishes, and he's living his face. So all of us, that's not what he meant. Rabbeinu Geshem never meant these cases. Posh, there's no shaila. You see it in the poskim. Rabbeinu Geshem, again, there is yesh chalkim, but even like the Noida Yehuda said, it's all because of svaris and sivas. The spirit of cherem, the Rabbeinu Geshem, was meant for very, very specific cases. And stating that, once Rabbeinu Geshem made his takana, the word gedolim, with their hergish, with their das Torah, they felt that it has to be applied more broadly. Where Rabbeinu Geshem made his takana was a real cherem with dina deraisa. Today it's zikr only within the rabbanon. Everyone holds it the rabbanon today. So if today all it is the rabbanon, today's zikr you could be meikol. It was made at soif el v'chamishi. Doesn't matter. Afal pikein. The rabbanon held that this was a takana. This was something that was put in place. And if this was something that was put in place, so therefore you have to treat it with a chaymer. And this, you have basically an Irian halacha, which is, again, you find this sometimes, where be'etzim, when you go through the Inyan and you really break it down, there's so many stodim to be makel in the Inyan. Be'etzim, it's an Inyan that you should be able to jump right in with a koyach da'atera. Stating that, the heritage of Gdolei Yisrael to Alto Doiris was to be very, very macher. And even this tshuva in the Mincha Susha, you see clearly his muscharisha was, no, it's at Soif al-Lachamishi, it's only the Rabbanon, right? It always starts that way, because Be'etzim, it's really a Dover Kal, if you think about it. But it's not, because Lamaisa, the Das Torah, and all the Gdolei Yisrael can help, that's not the way you're supposed to look at it. One of the other things that the Nei Yudim mentions several times in his tshuvas is that you have to take the Din of the Malchusa into consideration as well. There are federal laws as it relates to polygamy. And he says that even with his tshuvas, he said right away, he had a lot of disclaimers, you know, brings to mind the raid bite about Mother Teresa, but the Maria Teresa. But the point is that this whole Inyan is something that the Noid Behuda Kiyodua was very, 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 very sensitive to, and he was sensitive to in all these tshuvas. He says there are dina de malchusa considerations whenever you talk about the cherem d'Rabbeinu Geshem. He says anything that he says is batul or mevutul to whatever dina de malchusa is. He tells people that when they ask them these shailos, he gave them a terim makom mitzvah. He says, I don't know if the, you know, he calls them the government in chreshish, whatever shpracha was, if they're going to be maskim that there's enough gemina b'makom, a person lived, was married for 10 years, they didn't have children. I don't know if they're going to be maskim to all our cheshbonos. So you just have to make sure that you get blessed by them. You have to take the din of the Malchusa into consideration. Again, this is Mamash Sugya, that's Rechavim Min Hayam. So Bez Hashem, we did part 1, part 2, part 3, and Bez Hashem, we're going to do a part 4 as well.